13 minutes past 8 Central African time. You are listening to Sabahan Muslim on Radio Islam International. Well-known political analyst Imzo Mpolasi has written an article in which he suggests that BDS South Africa's anti-Woolworths campaign has the markings of a misdirected campaign. He says that, he poses the question about what the campaign has achieved beyond persuading around 800 people to turn up at its Pharrell Williams protest. Now, this is not the first time that the BDS campaign's effectiveness has been questioned. Boycott, divestment and sanction South Africa, the local chapter of a global movement pushing for boycotts against the state of Israel, has been conducting a very public boycott campaign against Woolworths with the aim of pressurizing the company into no longer stocking Israeli-sourced products. It also went all out to call for protests against U.S. singer Pharrell Williams when he performed in South Africa recently as a guest of Woolworths. Now, to have a discussion and a debate on the issue, we are joined this morning on the line by political analyst Umzo Mpolasi and the BDS's Mohammed Desai. Umzo, thank you so much for your time. We understand that you are overseas and we appreciate you taking your time for this discussion. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning and thank you for having me.
Mohammed, Jazakumullah for your time. Assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran so much for having me.
So let's start with you. Broadly speaking, you feel that this is a misdirected campaign. They have not harmed Woolworths financially. They haven't managed to cause reputational or brand damage. And that they are making nuisance of themselves when they protest. In a nutshell, is that what you're saying?
Effectively, that's what I'm saying. And to my mind, it's a legitimate campaign. But one that whose tactics are questionable and really not defined by the end goal, and certainly misdirected in the sense that what is the value of targeting Woolworths if there has to be no profit-driven impact, and nor has there been any brand-driven impact, and certainly no concessions whatsoever in terms of sourcing goods from Israel. So to my mind, I say it's misdirected in that, not to say the campaign is not legitimate. Palestinians should be afforded rights and statehood like every other nation group in the world. However, this, to my mind, has to be closely aligned with what the Palestinian interests are and actually have an end goal in mind, one that does not, I would say, be at the periphery of solving the Palestinian issue and actually is involved. And involved in this sense will be to drive the South African government position and certainly all the other regional entities that have a vested interest in Palestinian statehood.
Okay, Mohammed, let's take it issue by issue. Firstly, you know, starting with what was most recent, Imzo mentions this in his article that BDS had claimed that it would bring, together with its coalition partners, about 15,000 to 16,000 people to the Pharrell Williams protest in Cape Town, and all that you managed to get was between 800 and 3,000, depending on the varying figures. Is that indicative of the fact that BDS is not as powerful, does not have as much an impact as you would like to people to believe?
Well, firstly, thanks to Mazur for his analysis, for the time that he took to write his recent op-ed, as well as for his critique. Criticism, when done constructively, is very useful, and it allows us to improve and make certain tweaks that ultimately allow us to run more effective and successful campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest success of the Boycott Woolworths campaign so far has been the ability of taking this issue of BDS, which is sometimes an abstract issue, which is usually about lobbying governments, which is about pushing political parties, which is about engaging with churches and investment funds, is about taking this BDS issue and bringing it down to supper tables, lunchroom conversations, braais, and other occasions. It's allowed ordinary people to be part of this extraordinary movement. As for the protest that has recently took place outside Pharrell Williams concert. Now, the CEO of Woolworths claims that there were 350 people. The South African Zionist Federation, like Mzor, claims that there were 800 people. The Times Media Group claimed that there were 1,500. The Independent Media Group claimed that there were 2,000. But the police indicated that there were 2,500 people on the day at the picket that took place outside the Pharrell Williams concert. Now, according to their own numbers, let's take the CEO of Woolworths, Omzo, the court battles that took place and that were won just 2 days before, that tried to initially limit the protest to 150 people, were extremely extremely important and successful because we had more than double or triple the amount of people at that protest compared to what the concert organizers wanted us to be limited to. The Pharrell Williams protest was discussed more. The Boycott Woolworths campaign was discussed more. The Israeli links to Woolworths were discussed more than the fact that a U.S. artist was in this country. According to a Cape Town-based media analysis group, over 75% of all media items in the two-week period, including the week that Pharrell Williams was in this country, more media spoke about the Pharrell Williams, about the Boycott Woolworths campaign and the Israeli BDS movement compared to the fact of Woolworths bringing out this artist. So we think that the protest was extremely successful. It was also a celebration of the 1 year that the Boycott Woolworths campaign right. has been in existence.
Now, I take your point, Mohammed, that it generated a lot of media coverage around BDS and around the protest and the picket against the concert. But BDS was talking about figures around 15 and 16,000. The fact that if we go with 2,500 people only showing up, is that of no concern to you?
Well, the fact that we won the court battle just 2 days before the protest took place, it was an achievement to get 2,500 people out to the protest. But secondly, the court allowed 15,000 people, and we were confident that we would have galvanized that support if the stumbling blocks weren't put in place by the concert organizers, by Grand West Casino, and by the city of Cape Town.
Now, Imzo, you mentioned in your article that this protest turned out to be the dampest of squids. So do you buy Mohammed's explanation?
Well, this is the thing. If we look at numbers, it will depend from what vantage point was the person looking at as to how they went about sort of their data collection, if you like. And that is exactly the problem, to my mind, is that if the true test of the campaign is how many numbers the campaign galvanizes, then I say it's misdirected in that regard, because then it becomes a case of your success is determined by the number of people you're able to bring and not so much the movement in what you are hoping to achieve, a hope as an end game. And effectively, you become so misdirected from what actually is at stake, in the sense that I would argue, as a person who travels to the region quite regularly, that a Woolworths campaign to an ordinary Palestinian who's looking for civil and political rights is somewhat misdirected. They would argue that something that is actually more concrete, aligned with their interests and with their cooperation, would make a lot of sense. And certainly, I know Mr. Desai mentioned that traditionally it's been about lobbying governments, but the truth of the matter is that any solidarity campaign or any sort of a campaign that seeks to draw awareness or attention, really the movers on this would be the South African government. So that is where all of these efforts should culminate into, not so much about artists and all of this stuff and Woolworths, who tell me that they only source about 0.1% of their goods, and then begging the question, surely there has to be something more concrete than that, rather than these retail and all of these things, whereas BDS itself will never be the first mover or important mover for the change of behavior that you'd want to see in the Middle East. It will ultimately be governments. It will ultimately be negotiations. And that discussion is so far removed when we consider, the general spirit and the general focus of the campaign, if we're simply talking about artists and all of this stuff. It is actually far removed from the issue at stake.
Mohammed, your response to that you're barking up the wrong tree, if I understand Umzo's point correctly. You're supposed to be lobbying government. You're supposed to be taking up issues that will make a difference to those people on the streets of Palestine. There's little relevance between what they need and stopping Woolworths from stocking a few products.
Well, in some ways, Umzo is absolutely correct, but in other ways, wrong. The anti-apartheid movement of the 1980s against apartheid South Africa showed us how, on the one hand, you had Oliver Tambo, Archbishop Tutu, and others that traveled to the governments of the world demanding over year and year and year that sanctions be imposed on the apartheid government, whilst at the same time, simultaneously, there were successful protests against rugby matches, against soccer games, against artists, and against supermarkets that traded with apartheid South Africa. It's not about one or the other. The two have to take place simultaneously. So there must be a lobbying of the ANC as it goes up to its NGC. There must be pressure put on the South African government, but there is also a need to galvanize public support, and the Boycott Woolworths campaign allows us that opportunity to galvanize communities to be part of this BDS movement. So in some ways, yes, Mzoe is correct. Governments need to impose stronger sanctions against the apartheid government of Israel, but he is wrong in that this is the only form of pressure. We need pressure from various different avenues, and the Boycott Woolworths campaign, incidentally, was brought and called for after consultation with the Palestinians, who urged a boycott of a South African retailer that is indeed engaging in trade with Israeli agricultural companies, because the virtual majority of Israeli agricultural companies have illegal Israeli activities.
Now, so let me put the question to you in this way. Would you agree with Mohammed that a boycott campaign or a boycott-based strategy was effective in bringing the apartheid regime to its knees? And if you agree on that point, how do you think BDA should be doing their work differently in order to be more effective and in order to play a kind of role that we saw those who call for boycotts against the apartheid regime effectively play?
Well, first of all, the campaign needs to actually be watered down to what South Africans would recognize. In that, boycotting Woolworths, I don't even shop at Woolworths, for instance. You know, not because it's a boycott or anything of the sort, it's just that my financial budget does not allow me to shop at Woolworths. And I speak for many other South Africans who would struggle to do that. So therefore, the campaign of who shops there, who shops here, and all of this stuff is actually far removed from my context. Ultimately, South Africans, by their making and their history, you know, they are closely aligned to seeking civil and political freedoms. That is something that is in our making. And certainly, everyone would recognize that, but the manner in which it's done, it's almost as if to me it's somewhat randomized sampling, for instance. Mr. Desai talks about sort of the agricultural links and all of this stuff. For a company sourcing 0.1% of its goods, to my mind, I would imagine that within the 9 billion rand worth of trade that happens between Israel and South Africa, which most of it, by the way, is exports from South Africa to Israel, you would certainly find a much more, I would say, actor of good standing in that with significantly more trade. So, you know, I've seen arguments where people say, are there vested interests to the campaign where you could take an actor that necessarily does not do that much trade in the grander scheme of trade that we do with Israel? So from that standpoint as well.
Okay.
And also, it could also be around the spirit of the campaign. You know, all those people who are lobbying around getting apartheid South Africa ostracized, effectively becoming a pariah state, they did that not against the white people, mainly the white people that supported this beyond the borders of South Africa and all other countries that supported this. They effectively made the cause relevant to everyone concerned without antagonizing everyone. And another point that I'm making that piece, you know, I put a question mark to it because there has been this talk. Every time you see a BDS campaign, there's always this anti-Semitic Jewish, anti-Jewish sort of link associated with it. And unless that is addressed, maybe the overall appeal of the campaign, of how it's made relevant for all South Africans, given the history that I've articulated, given the sort of pro-Palestinian predisposition of most South Africans, and certainly given the context that you need to get a broader form of society to support the cause, that needs to happen. And one feels that is not in sync with the current campaign that Mr. Desai and his colleagues are embarking on.
Okay, let's take a look at some of the specifics. Mohammed, in his article, Mzo argues that BDS's campaign, which is, as you mentioned, 1 year old now, has not hurt Woolworths financially. Actually, to the contrary, Woolworths profits are higher now than they were a year ago. And he claims that that so-called analyst that came out from Wits, Clara Gattenby, claiming that Woolworths was losing about 8 million rands a year, has turned out to be a sociology student who's actually a BDS activist. So there's no credible authority that has come out to back up BDS's claims that they've been able to hurt Woolworths financially as a result of the boycott campaign. Your response, Mohammed?
Well, firstly, I want to absolutely dismiss Zoa's argument that the BDS movement and the boycott Woolworths campaign is anti-Semitic. The fact that you have, for example, South African Jews for the Free Palestine, the fact that you have the anti-apartheid Jewish icon, Dennis Goldberg, all participating in the boycott Woolworths campaign, gives you an indication that even Jews are part of our movement, and to suggest that this is an anti-Jewish movement or an anti-Jewish campaign is absolutely false and is an argument usually reserved for pro-Israeli supporters. We've managed to capture the spirit of the 1980s, where we have artists, comedians, sports people, government ministers, trade unions, workers at Woolworths as well, all joining this boycott Woolworths campaign and by its association, the larger BDS movement. Coming to the report that was produced last year about 8 million rands a month that the company is losing. Even let's put aside Kira Gattenby for a second. The factual evidence captured inside that report, the over 4,000 people that participated in the survey, the internet searches that were conducted cannot be disputed. The evidence speaks for itself. Even before any analysis is applied to that factual information, the information speaks about the growth of the campaign and the successes at a financial level, but also at a PR level. The CEO, Ian Moyer, of the company Woolworths, said to the Business Times that the largest challenge facing the company's PR today is the boycott and has been the boycott Woolworths campaign. So according to its own records, according to the company itself, the boycott Woolworths campaign is having a PR impact, but we also claim a financial impact. Yes, we don't deny for a second that Woolworths has grown in terms of its finances. However, its growth is lower than expected and lower than anticipated. How does Mzo, for example, explain the fact that 3 Woolworths stores have not met their turnover targets and that the manager, at least of one of these stores, has come out to BDS South Africa, making it clear that the reason he has not met his turnover target between 2014 and 2015 is a direct result of the boycott Woolworths campaign and the non-violent BDS protests and pickets that have been taking place.
Okay. Mzo, you know, just a few specific questions. Firstly, do you believe that Israel is an apartheid state? And what's your evidence to say that there's this anti-Semitism that comes across from BDS activities?
Well, first of all, I don't believe that Israel is an apartheid state, and certainly I'm not the only one who would hold that view. And I don't think that the ANC government that we have could be so misguided to have relations with an apartheid state. So just from that point of view, I wouldn't argue that Israel is an apartheid state. And then insofar as, you know, the anti-Semitic stuff, in that, you know, I've gone to some of these protests, and I've been there. You know, everyone is pro-Palestinian in South Africa, as I said. But then you quickly realize that some of the people, you know, for me, I partake in a cause that is pro-anything so long as we see what the end game is. And particularly with regards to the Palestinian cause, the end game is a two-state, is what we all would agree, and certainly want to see that actions that we partake in drive the South African government to agitate that for that, whether it be by envoys, Kohia, Fahad, or basically expanding the nature of the negotiations to include other actors, not just the United States, to include South Africa, to include developing nations of the world who want to see a Palestinian state. So that is the end game. But then when you realize that You know, I had a conversation with one lady at one of the protests who simply told me that, you know, the end game is that Israel should not exist. And I was like, well, that's not in sync with what I'm thinking. So certainly, if you have of that following, and indeed, you know, it doesn't represent, I would say, the mainstream of BDS, certainly not. But if you have those vested interests, the same interests, for instance, where you found, you remember the whole pig incident, which was sort of an insult both to Muslims and to Jewish South Africans to have basically things that are haram in a store that is meant to represent all South Africans. And that, to my mind, comes from that misinterpretation of actually what's happening, what the campaign is about,
right.
That, for instance, drove that ANC youth lead person or COSAS or whomever is part of the protest to translate, effectively, the campaign to be this. And also, we've had other instances, for instance, you know, people will call me and ask, you know, what do I think of this and this and this, and all of it will have to do about incidents, it'll have to do around picketing or boycotting a certain event or something to that effect, which to my mind sometimes is peppered with that. And
right.
I say, you know, maybe part of the same movement, and sometimes not everyone is aligned about what the movement is actually doing.
Okay, now, so what's your response to what Mohammed had said about what you mentioned in your article, that they're having no financial impact and they're having no impact on Woolworths' PR and brand? He's given those examples about the survey, the growth, the East profits, the East growth, but it's less than expected. Three stores are not meeting the targets, and Woolworths' own CEO is on record as saying that their biggest PR headache at the moment is BDS. Your response to that?
Well, for me, all of that other stuff is speculation. The numbers are what people are concerned about. So, for instance, if you go to Woolworths and your shareholder, you will be told that numbers don't lie. They've shown a growth of both your sort of market capitalization, your share price, and also the profit that they've derived from their acquisitions of the Australian entities or something to that effect. They've actually bolstered their profits. Their profits have actually risen. And secondly, when it comes to the monitoring, you know, the market share monitoring, whether be it from AC Nielsen, whether be it from the brand tracking companies, they indicate that Woolworths remains perceived to be a high-end retailer. And indeed, the campaign is there as a nuisance, but not so much as a mover of basically resulting in declining profits and, of course, resulting in, I would say, less brand appeal. They would be happy at Woolworths for a very long time. Compared to other retailers, they're pretty much up there. They continue to be a trendsetter in some of their goods and products and all of this stuff, so remaining largely unaffected about this. Indeed, when it comes to the company, whenever you have a boycott against your company, that is a great challenge because you know that that will always be there. It's a risk that you will have to map in, for instance, in your company strategy, integrated reports, or whatever else. It's something that remains there and certainly one that you have to defend throughout the financial year.
Now, Mohammed, your response to Mzo's claims about inappropriate behavior at the protest and the few examples that he's given now and also in his article?
Well, the example is given that a supporter was approached and the supporter wanted to see the demise of the Israeli regime. Even during the anti-apartheid movement, you had people that tried to paint the anti-apartheid movement as one that was against white people. And the ANC and the larger liberation struggle had to always defend itself and has to always put forward its policies and its positions. And so I urge Mzo and all others to visit the websites of BDS South Africa, the larger BDS movement, to find out what on record is our position regarding our end goal. Our end goal is the end of the occupation, full equality for Palestinian citizens of Israel, and thirdly, for the right of return of Palestinian refugees to be respected by the state of Israel. One should go to the spokesperson and not to some person on the street to find out what is the position of the larger BDS movement. I'll also urge Mzo to look into our history and into our archives. Yes, India terminated its relations with apartheid South Africa right at the start. However, even the most friendliest of countries, various Nordic and various European countries, still maintained relations with the apartheid government, still had embassies while certain forms of sanctions were being applied and whilst those governments were actually supporting the liberation struggle. Just because South Africa, because of the apartheid relations with Israel, just because South Africa has an embassy in Tel Aviv doesn't mean that it shouldn't be imposing sanctions, just as how various Nordic and European countries, as well as various other countries, including the USA, had embassies in apartheid South Africa, but yet at the same time imposed sanctions. Mm. Boycotting Israel is not contrary to having diplomatic relations.
Okay. Mohammed and Mzo, I'm going to ask you both to just hold the line. I'm going to come back to you in a short while for your concluding remarks. I just want to go quickly for the news headlines, and when we come back, we get concluding remarks from both our guests, Mzo Mpolasi, a political analyst, and Mohammed Desai from BDS, with regards to the effectiveness of the BDS campaign in South Africa. Don't go away. Tonight, we now conclude the discussion between Mzo Mpolasi, political analyst, who wrote an opinion piece, an article criticizing BDS South Africa in terms of the effectiveness of their campaign, and BDS's Mohammed Desai. Mzo, you've heard Mohammed's arguments and his responses to some of your arguments. Is there anything that you would change, anything that you would consider differently based on what you've said? And at the same time, if you can give us your concluding remarks.
Well, I mean, I still maintain what I said in the article, and Mr. Desai has not pointed out where, of course, where I'm factually wrong or something to that effect. But at the end of the day, what I'm saying with the article, the campaign being misdirected, is that ultimately, when it all comes to it, it will actually be state decisions that drive this process. Indeed, the solidarity campaigns, the boycott campaigns, and all of that stuff can continue ad nauseum. That's what some organizations are there for, solidarity campaigns. But the point is to drive the South African government to drive the process on the ground and for the campaign to be fully linked with the needs. Yes, I like the fact that you mentioned the civil and political rights being extended to Palestinians. That is the thing, that the campaign needs to be linked with the actual plight of Palestinians. And indeed, I return to this issue. To my mind, it's not just because I'm not pro-sanctions simply because the South African government maintains relations. It's out of the understanding that if you take, I would say in this case, measures that are towards the extreme angle, which is to issue sanctions, you effectively draw yourself out of the process and effectively would have not only presence in Tel Aviv, in the Gaza Strip, and the West Bank as we currently have, as the South African government will effectively withdraw from that process and be reduced to campaign, something that would weaken the South African position and certainly the position of Palestinians, knowing fully well that South Africans are pro-Palestinian, as I said from the outset. So that needs to change. The campaign of who's selling this, it's important. It's a solidarity campaign. But at the end of the day, what the campaign is doing must be linked with actual social change that the campaign wants to drive.
Mohammed, your concluding remarks?
Well, it's disappointing that Mzotolo Mpolasi doesn't agree with Dennis Goldberg, Ronnie Castles, Ben Churok, Baleka Mbete, Archbishop Tutu, John Dugard, Winnie Mandela, and the various others that do consider Israel an apartheid state. It's also disappointing that he doesn't learn from our history that sanctions played a successful role in bringing an end to apartheid locally and that it can have a role in the Israeli-Palestinian issue. However, the biggest proof of the effectiveness of the Boycott Woolworths campaign is perhaps having a discussion with somebody as with the stature of Mzotolo Mpolasi 1 year later after the campaign was launched. The campaign is having a financial impact, it's having a PR impact, but one of the largest benefits is that it's bringing the BDS movement, sometimes something that is out there and abstract, into the homes of every ordinary person, allowing all households to be part of an extraordinary movement.
Mzo Mpolasi, thank you so much for your time this morning. Much appreciated, and have a great trip and a safe return home.
Thank you for having me.
And Mohammed, jazakumullah for your time as always. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.